Good to be with everybody again this morning. I put the topic of my sermon this morning because how to reach the Ephesians in your life. And you'll see what I'm talking about here in a little bit. But I did that because I believe it's important. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, we all have Ephesians in our life. We all do. We have them. Everybody does that. I mean, the community, this nation, our families, we have that in our lives. And the Lord is just dealing with me on this, and I didn't know really what to title it, and sometimes I don't ever title things, but I just thought, man, that sounds about right. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture over in 1 Peter 3:15, but then after that, the main focus of my Scripture this morning will come from Acts chapter 19. But anyway, when you get to 1 Peter 3:15, let's stand if you're able to this morning. Let's read that together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And it says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of what? Of the hope. Of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, thanking you, Father, for the opportunity to be here this morning to stand before this congregation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon me down through the years, Lord. And I just want to thank you for that. Lord, I ask you, Father, this morning to get me out of the way, Lord. And Father, as I always do, Lord, I pray for the anointing this morning. I pray for the hearts and souls of those that are here this morning, Lord, that Father, that you would open up their minds. And Lord, if there's any need here this morning, Father, that you can meet those needs this morning. We know that you can. And we want to give you the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And again, thank you, Father. Thank you. And you may be seated. Amen. How many of you this morning have hope that this nation can turn back to God? How many of you do? I hope you do. How many of you this morning have hope that loved one that you've been praying for years, maybe that one that you think is so far from being able to be saved, how many of you have hope this morning that person can be saved? I do. But Jamie mentioned it there a little bit ago. This is true. This world is filled with hopelessness. This world is filled with hopeless individuals. It really is. If you look around, it's filled with those type of people. And, you know, I seen this here a while back. It said on average, now get this, 132 people commit suicide every day in this country. 130, these are people without hope. These are people that for whatever reason, have decided in their minds that they have no hope. And get this, maybe not so much in here this morning, but on average, 51% of all young people say that they feel depressed and they feel that they're hopeless. 51%. That's over half of the young people in this country feel that way. And I think about that. You know, and the scripture I just read to you tells you that we have the hope that they need. We have that hope that they need, but we have to give it to them. We have to tell it to them, and we have to show it to them. Amen? Because we have that hope. We have it. And it goes on to say, now the scripture I just read, but we have to do it. But you know why? They mentioned it earlier today when in teaching, because we are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That's why. I mean, if you're here this morning and you're born again and you're bought by the blood and the Spirit of God dwells within you, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are the one that can go out amongst all the hopelessness, can go about all those that feel like they're not worth anything, and you can give them that hope. You can do that. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it tells us that we are Christ's ambassadors because of God's making his appeal through us. That's what he's doing. You think about this for a minute. We talked about ambassadors a little bit ago here whenever our teaching. But what's going on as ambassadors? We are to appeal to those people that have no hope. We are to appeal to those people that think that no one in this world cares for them, because we are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ and we are the ones to offer them that hope. We are the ones. We, all of us in here, if we are honest, we would say, Greg mentioned it earlier, he's got a friend that needs hope. I have brothers and sisters, I have people in my family that need hope. And my Bible tells me, guess what? Me and you are the ones that are supposed to go out and give them that hope. We are the ones that are supposed to do that. Let me read 1 Peter 3:15 to you again before I move on. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Isn't that's pretty telling to me, is it not to you? We are to be ready always to give an answer to who? To some people? To every man. Of the hope that asketh you a reason, that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And we're supposed to do it with meekness and we're supposed to do it in fear. How, right there, I thought about that and I thought about that and I said, Lord, I know there's examples. Now, there's plenty of examples in the Bible. Plenty of examples in the Bible of people and places. We would look at them with our human eyes, would we not? And we could say that that individual was hopeless and there was no hope for him. But praise God, God didn't say they were a waste of time, did he? No. There's nobody that you know of this morning, nobody that this nation, nobody in this nation, anybody that is a waste of time in God's eyes. Nobody. The woman taken in adultery. We know that in the Bible. Jesus didn't say, go ahead and stone her. He said, who is without sin? He said, pick up that stone. And he is without sin. You cast the first stone. None of them could do it. What about the prodigal son? Brother and sister, you know, there's people, if they'd have done that to me, you know what? There's people out there said, I don't want nothing to do with them no more. God didn't say that. He didn't, it didn't make it. The father seen him coming a long ways off. And went to meet him. Paul, before he became Paul. Paul, before he became Paul. You know? And you could look at all those examples I just read to you right there. And if you're honest with yourself, you see people like that out there today, and you're probably thinking to yourself that maybe wrong, they're just hopeless as all get out. There's no hope for them. But I want to tell you this morning, praise God, we serve a God that says there is hope for them. We serve one that says that there is hope for them. There's also places in the Bible. There's also cities in the Bible. We're well aware of what Nineveh. We're well aware of that. Am I right on that? But God sent a preacher. Well, he sent somebody. He sent him there. And what happened? When he sent him there, he didn't want to go, number one. He wanted to go every place else, but go and try to get this city to repent. Jonah didn't want to go. And guess what? It tells me that he went. And you know what? They were excessively wicked. They plotted against God. If you go back and read all that, they shedded innocent blood. They enslaved other nations. And they were extremely cruel people. The people of Nineveh were. But God sent Jonah. And guess what? Jonah didn't want to go, but praise God, when he got there and he preached the message, it tells me that revival came. It tells me that revival came because God didn't think they were a waste of time. Amen? He didn't think they were a waste of time. And sometimes in our minds, and I'm going to speak for Dave Long this morning, not just you, but sometimes in my mind, I think it's a waste of time sometimes too. But God has had to deal with me on stuff like that. And I hope and pray that he's dealt with you on that. But God caused a great revival to break out. God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing. And the one in the New Testament that I would like to talk about this morning, if with you, is about Ephesians. Not the book of Ephesians, but the people of Ephesians. More specifically, the people of Ephesus. Those people right there, and how wicked they were, and how bad that they were, and how that they, and if you look at them, as we go down through this and look at them, you can compare them to the nation that we live in today. But God didn't think they were a waste of time. And God still doesn't think we're a waste of time. He goes on to say, if you study about it, he said, this is how God took what looked like a hopeless situation, and guess what? He's still using the book of Ephesians to turn people's lives around today. Because you know what? He didn't give up hope on them. You see, God brought such a great salvation, and he built such a great church in a city that was dark and that was wicked. And Ephesus was dark and it was wicked at the time, because Paul showed them that there was hope. He gave them that voice of hope. We find out in Acts 19 that the people of Ephesus had a lot going on, and a lot of it wasn't good. There was a misunderstood doctrine. If you go back up there, there was the occult. There was the worship of idols. Sin was everywhere, but God didn't throw his hands up and say, I give up on them. Paul had to straighten up some doctrinal issues first. If you go to verses in Acts 19, and let's start right there at the beginning of it. And it said, and it came to pass, listen to what it says there. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Here they were. If you read down through it, I'm going to just get into this little bit of it. They had been baptized according to John's baptism. That's what had happened. And they were going by that. They were saying, well, you know what? We're going by John's baptism. Well, Paul had to straighten that out, did he not? He asked him this question. Have you received the Holy Ghost when you believed? They hadn't received it. They weren't right. They weren't living right. But yet, they were in this wicked city. God, Paul come, and Paul straightened it up. Can I tell you something today? Brothers and sisters, doctrinal issues can hurt, but I'm telling you, we need to understand that, praise God, we need to serve God with everything that we have, and we need to do it according to what the Bible says, not to what man thinks. And there's these thoughts, and it came to pass, well, and he said that, and he said, we don't have so much heard of whether there be a Holy Ghost. And we know what the Bible says. Without the Spirit, you're none of His. These people weren't saved. There were some people in God's house who weren't saved. And they knew about God. They knew of God. But can I tell you something? They didn't know God. They knew of Him. They knew about Him. But they didn't know Him. Now, I don't point my fingers at nobody in this church or any other church that I've ever been in. But can I tell you something? There's a difference about knowing of God and knowing God. Can I have an amen? There is. There's a head knowledge. There's a head knowledge of God. There's all these things of God that we can have. But brothers and sisters, we need a heart knowledge. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul knew that there was something just not right. And you say, well, how did Paul know that? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Paul looked upon these. There was 12 of them. Remember, it says on down there were 12 of them that were like this. And I guess, I'm telling you, Paul probably listened to them. Paul probably heard them testify. He may even heard them teach. But he knew there was something wrong, didn't he, Greg? He knew there was something wrong. And brothers and sisters, whenever there's like that, there has to be right. Listen, Paul wasn't being mean. Paul wasn't being mean. Paul understood. He understood. He said, I'm going to give you some hope. I'm going to show you how you can get some hope. Get right. And he did. And they did. Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? We have not so much. And have we not heard that there is, we hadn't even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. That's what their answer was. We haven't heard that. Folks, can I tell you something this morning? The devil loves confusion. Amen. He loves to confuse. He loves confusion in the church. He loves to have it. Aren't we supposed to be in one accord? I'm not talking about a car. We're supposed to be in one accord. We're supposed to be in one accord. In one mind. Praise God this morning. But he'll keep fighting against themselves. You know what? The devil loves it when we keep fighting against him. He'll keep folks confused. Why? Because when this is happening, souls can't be reached. Souls can't be reached. And he knows it. If there's confusion in a church, and I'm not just talking about Drift Run Church. I'm talking about the church. If there's confusion in it, on any part of it, the devil loves it. We can't reach this lost. We can't reach souls like that. We're too busy trying to prove our own way is right. Souls aren't being touched. Paul had to deal with that first. If the church isn't in harmony, we will never see growth. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of what? Peace. Peace. Man, I tell you, Dave Long needs that. Post it on my refrigerator. I need it posted at work in the bonds of peace. Amen? That's what we need. That's what he's talking about. I'm telling you, how do we get the Ephesians in our lives saved? How do we get them to understand that they need, you know, listen, we need to do it in the bonds of peace. We need to have to understand that, you know what, there is something to this. On top of that, the temple of Diana was in this. It was in Ephesus. That's where it was at. They had thousands of prostitutes in that temple. That's what they had there going on. It was considered one of the wonders of the world. Listen, it was a massive structure. They said it was 425 feet long and 220 feet wide, and it stood upon a hill to where it overlooked the city. It was a massive temple. And in the scripture I'm about ready to read to you, we'll see people's livelihoods dependent upon that temple. We'll see that. It depended upon these pagan goddesses. And we'll also see where the occult was prevalent in that city. And as I look at this morning, it's not so I can study the history of it. That's not what I'm trying to get across. What I'm trying to get across is it should be something that we learn from to where we can help others to learn from this. It's not just to study the history of it. Amen. That's not the point that I want to get across here. It's to encourage hearts. You see, even this land we live in, as dark as it is and as wicked as it is, and the vast majority are dead set against God. Can I have an amen? They are. We can look at, you know, they are dead set against God. And even some we personally know are deep in sin. My Bible tells me the arm of the Lord is not short. He's able to save. He's able to save. And he will save. There is no nation, no individual that's beyond the reach of God's grace. None. I wrote this saying down. I like this saying. I've had this for a while, but I want you to listen to this. Our worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. Our worst days. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. Amen? I thought that was an awesome saying, and it is the truth. I thank the Lord that he's still saving sinners, and I like you and me both used to be. I'm thankful that one day he thought enough of me to send his son to die upon a cross. And you know what? Praise God, this morning I accepted him into my heart. As bad as I was, as awful as I was, and there's people in here could say the same thing, God's grace still reached down and grabbed a hold of me. Let's read some more scripture. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I read this here a while back. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, or effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to this. This is verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Such were some of us one day. You read that list? Such were some of us one day. But praise God, God didn't turn his back on us one day, did he? He didn't do that. He loved us. He loved us. All that list, the glory days, the good old days, we can say all that stuff is behind us. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he can save this boy, he can save you. And if he can save Patty, he can save anybody else in this room. And you can say, well, that's not a good comparison. Listen, if one day we were all lost without Jesus Christ, no matter how bad you think you are, no matter how good you think you are, we needed a Savior one day. And that Savior was Jesus Christ. We needed a Savior one day. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what state you was in. God has not changed. God has not changed. Starting in verse 17 of Acts 19. Let me get down there and let's start right there. Just pick it up right there. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus. Fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together, burned them before all men, that counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. So let me tell you what they did. They didn't get up that morning and grab the newspaper for the horoscopes. They didn't grab a Ouija board. They threw it in there and burned it. They didn't have a magic eight ball. Brothers and sisters, they took the stuff of the occult, what was there, they threw it on the fire, and they burned it. You know how much they said that that was worth in American dollars today? $5 million. They burned it all. They burned it all. They threw it out there. They burnt every bit of it. This included the books, the paraphernalia which they had, spent their fortunes on. They gladly threw it onto the fire. Listen, they quit calling the psychic hotline. Why? Because Jesus Christ had come into their hearts and Paul had given them hope. And you know what? Whenever Jesus comes into your heart, there will be a change in your heart. There will be a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can I tell you something? When I got saved, God changed me, but there were some things that he was still dealing with me on, and I had to be dealt with on. It's a few things. Few things. And I praise God he dealt with me on them. I let him deal with me on them. You know, that's the point, Christians. Listen to this. You got to let him deal with you on it. You just can't have your way with it all the time. You just can't look at these things and say, well, God, I believe I know what's best. You got to let him deal with you on it. Listen, you know when that change comes, you don't cuss anymore. You don't drink anymore. You don't look at things you shouldn't ought to look for it anymore. Amen. You love the unlovable. Praise God. As the song says, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Amen. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Praise God. Thanks to Calvary. I'm going to thank God. They threw away everything. And the thing that they got rid of was their livelihood. That was their livelihood. And they threw it away. They burned it. Why? Because the most important thing to them now was Jesus. Colossians 3:11 says this, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all, and it says, and in all. He was there all in all. That's what he should be to us. Amen? Everything revolved around him. What a lesson. What a lesson for all of us. Okay, what a lesson for me then. Amen? What a lesson for me. Let's go on down to 23 and 25. And the same time there arose no small stir about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with his workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth." This man and a number of other ones in that city, that, you know what? They didn't just squeak by, brothers and sisters. They didn't just make ends meet. They were getting filthy rich off of this right here. That's what they were doing. And they had become wealthy, making these little shrines. Now, let me explain to you what they would do. They make these little shrines of that goddess Diana, and people would come into town and buy them, and they would take them and lay them on that altar in that temple of Diana. That's what they would do with those. That's what they would do with those statues, these little statues. So these guys were getting filthy rich about it. These people back in, they worshiped this pagan goddess. It's what they did. And all this man was getting concerned because so many people were getting saved and it was hurting their business. That's what it was about. And it was hurting their bottom line because people were getting saved and they were getting out of that. Praise God. Praise His name. Because no one was buying these things. What an amazing story of the power of God and how that salvation contains people's hearts. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You want to talk about power? Salvation. Born again, there is power in salvation. There's power in the blood. There's power in the Holy Spirit coming into you. Paul wasn't the same after he met Jesus. Dave Long wasn't the same after I met Jesus. And I can tell you, you weren't the same after you met Jesus. Mary Magdalene wasn't the same after she met Jesus. These Ephesians were not the same after they met Jesus. Anyone who has ever met Jesus, you will not be the same. Don't think for a minute. You will not be the same. Yeah, you look in the mirror, you may see the same old face in there. But I'm telling you, if you truly met Jesus, down inside, you are not the same. You are not the same. Amen this morning. Amen. And these Ephesians were changing because someone shared hope with them. Paul looked at everything going on in that city. He looked at the occult. He looked at all this idol worship. He looked at some of the false doctrine. And if you know what I would have probably done, Greg? I'd have probably threw my hands up and said, "I'm not dealing with this no more." Paul didn't do it. He shared hope. He shared hope. And I praise God this morning. That's what he did. He shared hope. Verse 26, "Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but also throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people." Paul didn't give up. Paul wasn't going to give up. He knew where he was headed. He knew one day he was going to have to go to Rome. He knew one day he was going to be in prison. But Paul wasn't going to give up, saying, "There be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of our great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." Paul had persuaded so many people to become Christians that it affected the very fiber of society there, and it affected their bottom line. Oh, the Christians could do that today. Oh, the Christians could do that today. Don't you like how these men started their complaint? They said this, so that not only our craft is in danger, to be sought at naught, they were more worried about losing their money. Then they saw, oh yeah, Diana, the temple's going, there's going to be something wrong with it too. That's what they were worried about. Paul had persuaded so many people. Don't you like, and so that not only is their craft in danger, sounds to me like they're more worried about their business than they were than their worship of their goddess. Doesn't it sound familiar today? Doesn't it sound familiar today? We have a lot of mega churches out there. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. Folks, when Jesus is number one in a nation or a community, the bars aren't selling the liquor like they used to say. Can I have an amen? The drug dealers aren't selling the dope like they used to sell. The entertainment industry are not selling the tickets that sell the smut. They're not selling that as much as they used to. Why? Because people are getting changed and they're going to spend their money on something else. Praise the Lord. When souls are being changed, the devil doesn't like it, and let's see what he does. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion and caught Jairus and Arstitius, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel. They rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chiefs of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they come together. So here's what they do. Here we got is a mob scene. Here they were. You know what a theater is in that day? It's a stadium. That's pretty much what it is. So what they were doing, all of them had rushed towards the theater. Some of them, it said, were confused, didn't even know why they were going there. Man, that's like a lot of people today, right? That's like a lot of people today. You know, they're so confused and they don't understand, but yet they're going to go along. They're going to go along with the crowd. You know, they tell us, you know, that they tell us, you know what, you don't care about a woman's right to choose. No, that's not it. No, that's not it. We just don't want to see, we don't want to see innocent babies killed. You know, but there's crowds out there that will follow. And they'll follow right along with that. Oh no, you don't want to, you guys just don't understand. People just should love who they want to love. No, that's not what Christians are saying. No, that's not it at all. We're just saying that we believe God's word, and we believe that, you know what, that it's a man and a woman, and that's what we believe. But there's crowds out there that believe that all we want to do is just hurt. And there's people out there, brothers and sisters, that folks are coming against Christianity, and the majority of them have no idea why they're even coming against them. All we want to hear is people loving who they want to love. That's what they say. No, we want to love Jesus. By doing so, you follow the word of God and do what the Bible says. That's what we want. To keep them from God's wrath. All they hear is we are unloving and we're narrow-minded. And that's what they hear out there. And whenever they hear that, they come against us just the way that they were coming against these people back then. No, what it is, we're telling them that Jesus is the only way. And that's the way that they need to go. They just see everyone running, and they started following along. And two things to remember. I'm going to shut this up here in just a little bit. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace is in all the churches of the saints. And if there's a lot of confusion, God's not in it. Number two, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Brother says, we as Christians, we don't follow multitudes. We shouldn't follow multitudes to do evil. We should follow this word of God, is what we should follow. And if it lines up with God's word, then that's where we should base ourselves. And they drew, starting in verse 33, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand that he would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, defense, defense, defense. No. No, they didn't. They cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. That's what they cried. You may be thinking, who in their right mind could imagine someone shouting and yelling for 2 hours? Well, just turn on the Super Bowl tonight. Just turn it on this evening. And you'll find people shouting and yelling for more than 2 hours. Amen? Who could imagine that? And that's what they're saying. He said, listen. And he said, make no mistake. They were just as devoted and just as fanatical about them as the Ephesians were toward Diana. Folks, we can call their names different gods today. We can call them that. But brothers and sisters, people today are just as fanatical about that. I want to tell you a little story about a preacher. He went to the NASCAR race. It's been a few Daytona 500, where was that? He went down, and all he went there for was to pass out tracks. That's all he did. He wanted to go pass out tracks, and he didn't go into the race. He stood outside and just passed them out as he went. And he said, this one guy, he said he seen him there, so he walked up to him. He said, let me give you some hope. That's all he said to him. Let me give you hope. Let me give you a track. This guy looked at him and said, listen, he said, I don't want you. He said, you get away from me, you fanatic. He said, you freak. That's what he told him, what this preacher said. You get away from me. He said, as he was saying this, he said, the preacher looked down at him, and he said, he had NASCAR down both legs. He had a coat that had NASCAR buttons and all stuff all over it. He had a shirt that had a picture of a NASCAR guy on it, and he's wearing a hat that had the race number and stuff all over it. And he was looking at him, he said, he didn't tell him, but he said, he thought to himself, you're calling me the fanatic? And you're calling me the fanatic? Brothers and sisters, listen. If we could be as fanatical about Jesus as people are out here in the world, can I tell you something? I've been in church sometimes where people would complain if you went past 12 o'clock on preaching. But the world, now listen to this, they'll go to a ball game, and it take them maybe an hour or 2 hours to go to a ball game to get there. They'll tailgate for 3 hours. They'll stand in line to get into the stadium, sit on whole old hard cold seats and watch a game for 2 to 3 hours. Get out of that game, sit in traffic for another 2 to 3 hours before they get home, and then they'll come to work the next day. And Jeremy, they'll tell you how great a time they had.
There you go.
Can I ask you something? Can I ask you something? We can have a great time here if we mind the Lord. We can have an awesome time here if we mind the Lord. Now listen, I'm not putting people down, but you know this evening as well as I do, and this is not anything against the Super Bowl, not anything against that. But people will scream their heads off for 3 to 4 hours tonight. And brothers and sisters, they're fanatic. Sometimes in church wrong, we can't even get people to testify. Amen or oh my. I want to praise God. Listen, the Ephesians, if we look at that, look at what they were doing. Now, can we compare that to the United States today? A lot of it we can just put right down the line. Can we not? But if you go back and you read the book of Ephesians, there was a bunch of them that got saved, Patty. Bunch of them that got saved. And brothers and sisters, that place turned around. That place turned around because Paul gave them hope. Can we understand that this morning? This, for me, more than probably anybody else in here, offer hope to a lost and a dying world. Can we do that? If of all things, can we do that? Offer people hope. We can't, you know, listen, I know, and I tell, me and Tank talk about this, I preach kind of hard sometimes. I know I do. But I just hope and pray that I preach what God wants me to preach. And one thing I want you to understand above anything else, I want to give people hope. I want to give them hope. Because without hope, there's, without hope, there is no hope. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Without loving the Lord, there is no hope. There is no hope. Praise God this morning. I'll tell you what, come get an overhead if you don't care. If you have a need this morning, please come.